The title of this message in church history is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That was a movie like that with Clint Eastwood one time. And the reason why I'm using this title is that I'm an honest historian. I'm going to tell the way it is, whether people like it or not. I am a real old-fashioned Orthodox Southern missionary Baptist. That's what I am. And I wouldn't be anything else. I work with Southern Baptist churches and missionary Baptist churches. I am pastoring this church here, Discover the Word Missionary Baptist Church, here in Fish Lake Valley in Nevada. Now, in church history, I brought in the Ku Klux Klan. I brought in the Masonic Lodge. And that one time, in nearly every Southern Baptist church, especially in the South, there was a Ku Klux Klan lodge in that church, a brotherhood of it were, members of that, and also members of the Masonic Lodge. Benjamin Marcus Bogard was a 32nd degree Mason. Dr. Hoyt Chastain was a 32nd degree Mason. My father-in-law, Marilyn's father, was a 32nd degree Mason. This lodge, people have tried to really denounce it in the last 20, 30 years as something extremely evil. But I'm an old man, and a lot of my family was in the Masonic Lodge, and I didn't ever got involved with it at all, even though I was invited, tried to encourage to do that. They always used to say, you'll never get anywhere unless you're a member of the lodge. And most people, there were a lot of presidents that were in the Masonic Lodge, presidents of the United States. The Masonic Lodge was in several churches that I pastored and that were members of. And I don't see anything wrong with them because they were the pillars of the church. They were the deacons in the church. They were the workers. I remember when I was a member of the Wasco Church out there, Central Valley Missionary Baptist Church, there was a whole lot of lodge members there. The women were in the Eastern Star and all of that. You see all of this. And when I was in Shafter, the same thing. In Oildale, same thing. The First Missionary Baptist Church in Bakersfield, same thing. These members that were of the lodge, and I'm just saying this for right now, I'm not propagating, don't go join the lodge or anything like that. I think it takes up a lot of time. Some people take and go to the lodge instead of going to church, but I'm talking about people that were pillars of the faith, pillars of the faith that were in the lodge. Now, some people, they'll join the lodge, they'll take their family in the lodge, and they'll do all that, but they don't take them to church. That's wrong. The Lord is number one in everybody's life. I don't care if you're a lodge member or whatever. I preach funerals of deceased members of the lodge, and the Masonic Lodge come in there and took over and did their little thing. They kind of put me on the side there when it comes to that, and Marilyn, you were there with one of these at one time. And we're talking about that. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, today, you all over the internet, you got all this stuff about how terrible the lodge is. I didn't see that myself, and I probably know more about the lodge than they did as far as the people in the lodge. The book, 13 Golden Years, by Floyd Looney, The History of California Southern Baptists. I knew these people, many of them. They're in a generation just before me, but they're also in my generation. The man that is quoted all over in here, Dud Pointer, gave this book to me. He founded many churches in the Missionary Baptist and Southern Baptist. He was a Southern Baptist and a Missionary Baptist preacher. They called him an old landmarker. Well, I am too. We'll understand what landmarkers are also. I'll give you a little bit of information there. They used to call them landmarkers. Now, J.R. Graves was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And in the 1800s, and I still can't find out, I got to go look in his books. I've got about 15 of his books that he has written. But I got to find out the year that he preached, "Remove not the ancient landmarks." And he talked about the basic doctrines of the Baptist Church. And the basic doctrines of the Baptist Church is salvation by grace, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Father, the Trinity, the Son, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that the gifts have ceased with the completion of the Bible, that the church is the entity that the Lord Jesus Christ founded in His own lifetime, that He called out at the seashores of Galilee, not in Jerusalem, not on the day of Pentecost. The church was empowered. The church was already in existence before that. These things, the Southern Baptists and the Missionary Baptists all believed at one time. But there were some group, even in the 1800s, there were some Southern Baptists that were going the way of the liberal interpretation. It's all right. Anybody that wants to baptize, anybody, the preacher's got the right to baptize people, can go out and baptize whoever they want to. The preacher doesn't baptize anybody. It's the church. Now, they talk about alien immersion and open communion. Alien immersion is someone that was in a different church, wherever he was. If they baptized him by immersion, it wouldn't matter. If the church didn't have authority to baptize, if it wasn't one of these churches coming down from the Lord Jesus Christ, the baptism was null and void. And some Southern Baptist churches and Northern Baptist churches accepted this all the time. That was a liberal, no Northern Baptist. American Baptist Convention now, and back then for a long time too. Even back in this time, it was called American Baptist Convention, the Northern Baptist. That was a great contention, and we're going to find that all the way through the book here. And the Baptists, the Southern Baptists, in the 1950s began to wander away from close communion. I didn't say close, I said close communion. There's a difference between open, close, and closed communion. Missionary Baptists don't practice closed communion, even though I've heard them say that. They don't know what they're talking about. Close communion is what we practice. It's members of that church only take the Lord's Supper in that body. You can't go to a convention and do it. They began to do that at the Southern Baptist Convention. That's why J.R. Graves stood up and said, "Remove not the ancient landmarks." They began to practice things that were a little out of the way. And so he held them and brought them back to the landmarks, to the principles of the Bible. Now, as we go through this book, we're going to see these, and I will quote over and over again from this book, showing you where the greatest contention at this time was open and closed communion. The Southern Baptists didn't like the landmarkers. They were too strict in their interpretation of the Bible. They didn't want to accept alien immersion. They didn't want to accept or practice open communion, where anybody is invited to take communion. I was a member of a church one time, and when I become a member of that church, they practice close communion, they preach close communion. But they began to openly practice open communion. And I never took the Lord's Supper with them again. Simple as that. I don't practice open communion. I never have. I never practice anything else than close communion. There were some giants of the faith back at this time, and some of them stood out. There was many landmark missionary Baptists that were founding Southern Baptist churches, and they cooperated with the Southern Baptist Convention. They sent the Southern Baptist Convention loaned money to build church houses. They sent out missionaries, etc., etc., etc. Now there's the what we call independent Baptists are not a member of any association at all or any convention. And then there's different kinds of conventions and associations. Many of the more conservative Baptists would not join the Southern Baptist Convention because they began to
what they did was, if you went out and you were a missionary, or if you were a pastor, and the whole program was that your church had to give a certain amount of your offerings to the Southern Baptist Convention. They had minister or pastor retirement funds, pastor retirement homes where you could go. But if your church didn't give a certain percent to the cooperative program, you couldn't get your retirement. You didn't have any retirement. This is what we're talking about, the good, the bad, and ugly now, remember? I'm telling you all the things. I'm going to go through here. We're going to see some individuals in here that I thought very much of at this period of time. Doug Porter is one of them. Sam Will Coxon was another one that I met. Marilyn, you heard him preach in Taft, California. He was very old at that time, nearly way up there in age. I was Doug Pointer's pastor at one time. It was a privilege being his pastor until he went out into a different area where they wanted to use him in churches. They thought he would be a great asset. He was a great asset for me too. I had messages from him, preached by him a long time ago, but it was all on reel to reel, and I didn't get all the reel to reels back. I loaned them to a seminary, and I didn't get them all back. And I think that was one sermon that he preached on was lettuce. And I would love to have that out on the website. You will hear his voice introducing me to the presbytery when I was ordained, Doug Pointer. Now, the contention between Landmarkers, they called Landmarkers because they were followers of Benjamin Marcus Bogart in Little Rock, Arkansas. And the American Baptist Association was founded in the 1920s because they wanted an association. But in all reality, the American Baptist Association and the Southern Baptist Convention are very little parts, just one's bigger than the other. And a lot of the independent Baptists won't join the American Baptist Association, the General Baptist Association, or any of them, because they won't want to support any association that sends out missionaries. They say that churches only can send out missionaries. Well, churches do send out missionaries. In the Southern Baptist Convention, some church is a sponsor of that missionary, even though he's employed by the Southern Baptist Convention. But at this period of time, that missionary had to preach the doctrines of there, and they didn't want any church. They wanted church growth. And when you have a lot of church growth, you have to take people that don't believe exactly like you do. And this was a great contention from 1940 to 1953. That's what it's talking about here, from 1940 to 1953. I knew some of these people. I heard this. I saw this. I lived through it. The church that I pastored in Bakersfield, California, or near Bakersfield, California, was a split off of another church. A lot of churches split. They didn't agree with each other, so they would go divide, and they'd go over here in this part of town, you're over there in that part of town. Sometimes it was three blocks apart or something, because they didn't agree with things, certain things. In 1938, there were several landmark churches up and down the state which had secured the cooperation of many Southern Baptists, including some who have since become staunch supporters of the Southern Baptist work. Roy Young, his mother, Mrs. W.W. Young, and John W. Watson, known in those days as Elder John W. Watson, Silas Hill and J.E. Hill, to name a few. In the meantime, Silas Hill had secured an endorsement of some of the landmark churches and was acting as one of their missionaries. Now, what's the difference between almost every Southern Baptist church? It says first missionary Southern Baptist church of whatever, Lompoc or wherever, Bakersfield. Shafter was first landmark Orthodox Southern Missionary Baptist Church of Shafter. They all had that because missionary Baptists were people that sent out missionaries. But the missionary or the landmarkers in the Southern Baptist Convention, the landmarkers said, we're not going to support the Southern Baptist Convention because the convention sends out missionaries and not churches. But the Southern Baptists started practicing open communion and receiving alien immersion. And there was a big, big stink over this. There was a lot of that. And the Southern Baptist churches and the landmark Southern Baptist churches began to split the sheets. And this is when it all happened right here in my lifetime. I was alive back there. In one of his missionary journeys, he went to Shafter, probably in February 1938, for a conference with Sal Muscon, Sam Wilcoxon, which you met, in which he made an effort to get Sam to promise that he would try to bring his church into the Landmark Fellowship. That's an American Baptist Association, not the convention. Hill insisted the Southern Baptists would never have any organized work in California, and the missionary Baptists had. All the Southern Missionary Baptist churches in California were missionary Baptists. The Southern Baptists were just beginning to come in. The Northern Baptists had a contract with the Catholics that they would only evangelize this part of the country and only that, and the Methodists, they were under the American Council of Churches. Missionary Baptists, Southern Baptists never were part of the Council of Churches. That all the real Baptists needed an avenue of fellowship and cooperation which they could not enjoy in the Northern Baptist Convention. Northern Baptists, that's the ones open communion, alien immersion. They're not Baptists. Wilcoxon refused on the ground that he was a Southern Baptist. Never had been anything else and never would be, but he was a Southern missionary Baptist. But he said, Brother Hill, you can stay over and take up with the church and see if the members want to do about it. Hill gladly obliged, and when the church was called together, Deacon Henry Mauser, that word, remember that name? Henry Mauser, Kirk Mauser, the one I went to school with, got up and quietly said, and all these, by the way, they're all in the Masonic Lodge. Got up and quietly said, Brethren, it is my belief that we ought to go alone and wait until something comes along like we've always been used to. That settled the matter, and the Shafter never did line up with the landmarks until later, and therefore preserved the unbroken lineage of Southern Baptist cooperation. The Shafter saints were hungry for fellowship and were longing for an opportunity to cooperate with others, but were unwilling to leave Southern Baptists and take up the landmark reactionaries. The reactionaries that they didn't believe in open communion and alien immersion. That's the reactionary about it. They wouldn't have it. They wouldn't accept Northern Baptist baptism. They wouldn't accept anybody that dips baptism. They wasn't going to say they weren't going to accept free will Baptist baptism, even if they dipped. The landmark reactionaries, Frank Norris radicals, at the same time, many Southern Baptists did join forces with the landmarks, hoping they could outnumber the radical Bogard element and else and reform it. What did they want to do? Practice open communion? And accept alien immersion. That's the difference, people. They were never sympathetic with the ultra-radical convention-hating element of the landmark movement. The convention-hating element. They said simply, churches send out missionaries, not conventions. And, of course, the ABA began to do that also later on. But rather hoped to bring about some sort of cooperation which would be effective in winning millions of lost people in Christ, which the ABA did. The General Baptist Association and the Southern Baptist Association or Convention did, all of them. Ben Bogard was part of the Southern Baptist Convention. So was J.R. Graves. He was president of it. But when the Southern Baptists began to weaken on their doctrinal stands, they began to separate themselves. And they began to be known as troublemakers. Radicals. Unfortunate, their hopes were never realized, and that is why many of them have since left the landmark movements, have joined with the convention forces. It is regrettable that some of the Baptists stayed with the landmarkers and have never been able to accomplish much for the master.
This is a derogatory term.
It makes me want to spit. Missionary Baptists never accomplished much. The Landmarkers never accomplished much. They got the American Baptist Association. They send missionaries all over the world. Just like the Southern Baptist Convention. But the Southern Baptist Convention won't admit that the Missionary Baptists and the American Baptist Association are sending out missionaries and are building churches all over. And reaching thousands of souls. Many of their preachers were Landmarkers. But they stayed with the convention. But they preach Landmark theology. What is it? Basic Bible conservative Bible truths. That's what it is. By this time, the Northern Baptist opposition was showing its head. In fact, the pastor of the Northern Baptist Church and Chapter had told Will Coxon that some of them, his men, and that they should go out and labor to their labor camps where their crowd lived, and no one in town cared anything about Southern Baptists. Go out there and go to the labor camps. These were all Okies, by the way, and Arkies and Missourians and whatever. Go out there to the lower classes and deal with them. The one thing about the Landmark movement, they had more educated preachers than the Southern Baptists at that time. They already had a seminary in Riverbank, California. And my teacher and father in the faith, Dr. Harold Travis Hubbard, was president of that seminary teaching Greek and Hebrew. And so was M.B. Hubbard also teaching there. They had a seminary in California. They don't tell you this. But they wanted somebody teaching their liberal views. The word went out, the Southern Baptists were a bunch of Arkies, Okies, who couldn't make a living where they came from and had just drifted into California and would soon be gone. Proof that some feared that they would not all leave were expressed by the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Bakersfield when he became alarmed about the activities of Sam Wisconsin. And here's this, the First Baptist Church in Bakersfield is what? Northern Baptists. And his church. The radio broadcast was getting the attention of some of his people. They were broadcasting over the radio. See, they never come to much. That Southern Missionary Baptist never did any much. I remember one time I was talking to and I was at Valley Baptist Church, and one of the old Southern Baptist preachers said, well, those Missionary Baptists never amounted to much. Boy, they sure amounted to much. They sure did. They preached scriptural. They were true to the Word. We're talking about Martin Canavan. Being on the radio, all of these, Sam Wilcoxon. So great was his concern about it that he came to Wisconsin to ask if the Southern Baptist Convention was paying his salary to organize churches in Northern Baptist territory. This is our territory. You can't come here. In the meantime, Northern Baptists didn't make any effort to correct the impression that Southern Baptists were all Negroes. Well, a lot of Missionary Baptists are Negroes. Did you know that? We're going to get one of them right here pretty soon. He was a doctor also, a doctor. A great man of God, and they didn't treat him well either, the good, the bad, and the ugly, as I told you. I'm going to tell it the way it is. I'm going to tell you what happened. In the spring of 1938, Dud G. Pointer, the man that gave me this book, who was very active in the organization of the chapter church, rented a tent and held a meeting in Delano. Brother Pointer built churches in Delano. Chapter, he was there building the chapter church. Wasco, Arvin, Lamont, Bakersfield, Oildale, Porterville. All of these places Brother Pointer was preaching. Which resulted in the organization of a church. From Delano, he went to Oildale, where he held another meeting, which resulted in the organization of the First Baptist Church of Oildale. This is where the church in Bakersfield that I was a member of, this is where it came from, Valley Baptist Church. This man founded Valley Baptist Church, in the where it came from, right here. Used to, when I walked into the auditorium, when they built the new auditorium, right on the side was Dud Pointer's name as organizing that church in Oildale. With 9 charter members from Oildale, he went to Lamont, where on October 3rd, he led the organization of a new church with less than a dozen members. Back in those days, it's a long way from Oildale to Bakersfield to Arvin and Lamont. After the church was organized, he remained for 4 weeks, meeting with which resulted in 65 baptisms. This is one of my fathers in the faith. 65 baptisms. He wasn't doing anything, remember? He remained for 4 weeks, resulted in 65 baptisms. When the meeting closed, the church counted the ones who were baptized and the charter members and others who had joined by letter and statement, and had 101 members. Pointer was called as pastor by the Lamont Church, but continued to hold meetings in such communities as Arvin and Porterville, which resulted in the organization of churches. We don't ever do anything. Missionary Baptist never mount anything. I was his pastor. And he was my pastor, you might say. R.W. Lackey was another one. R.W. Lackey. This is a giant in the faith in the San Joaquin Valley. He comes on the scene to write the history of California Southern Baptist and leave out the labor, the life, and the love and influence of R.W. Lackey would be like painting a picture of the city of Washington and leaving out the nation's capital. Missionary Baptist, landmarker. Lackey came from the Lamont in February 1938 to assist Pointer and the church in a revival meeting. Perhaps the invitation came to Lackey because of his brother Henry, who was one of the deacons, and there were other members of the church who had known him in Oklahoma, Okies. During the meeting, he met Samuel Wisconsin and Thurman Ellis, all of these people I knew, an Arkansas preacher who had come west to be pastor of the Baptist Church in Taft, where we went, Maryland. We went to that Baptist Church in Taft several times. Samuel Wisconsin, Wilcoxon was out there also. Now, the Taft Church was organized in 1925 and perhaps 1928, but had not been sympathetic with the Southern Baptists. It was a missionary landmark Baptist church. It still is. But they don't associate with the American Baptist Association either. For instance, the church cooperated to some extent with the Northern Baptists for a while. A woman evangelist came to hold a revival meeting, and there were other irregularities. 2, nevertheless, the church cleaned house and had some extent become sympathetic with the Southern Baptist program. Before Lackey had finished his meeting at Lamont, he had, in a conference with Wisconsin, Ellis, and Pointer, these are all real Baptists, by the way, and others, discussed the possibility of organizing a Southern Baptist Association. Ellis requested Lackey. Now, actually, the American Baptist Association was started in 1925. But they didn't have anything out here at all. But they were educating their preachers and sending them out to seminary out here. Ellis requested Lackey to assist in framing a suitable constitution for an association. And so when he went back to Oklahoma, he set himself on the task of writing that he considered would be an acceptable constitution for the Southern Baptist Association in California. The missionary Baptists were already here. The Southern Baptists came later. But the Southern Baptists were first missionary Southern Baptists. They were all the same, except for those people they associated with. He sent his draft to organization to Ellis, who in turn conferred it to Sal Wilcoxon, and Wilcoxon, being an Arkansasian, suggested some changes which he thought would bring a constitution in line with one which governed the Greene County Baptist Association in Arkansas. The result of the whole matter was that the brothers agreed upon the constitution, which was patterned somewhat after the ones used by associations in Arkansas and Oklahoma. That constitution, with slight changes, has become the general pattern of all constitutions used by the 28 district associations through which California Southern Baptists cooperate today. And remember, this is in the 1950s. 1940 to 1953, 13 golden years. Now, Dud Pointer was here in 1938, in the 1920s also. The first association organized, April the 13th, always number 13. The unlucky number 13 is lucky for Baptists. April 13, 1939, messengers from four churches. Chapter, guess what? Oildale, Lamont, and Taft, all of them were missionary Baptists, all of them founded by Dud Pointer or Will Coxon. Met with the Orthodox Missionary Baptist Church at Chapter. The Orthodox Missionary Baptist Church of Chapter. For the purpose of organizing a Southern Baptist Association. First on the program was a rousing sermon preached by Samuel Scofton, after which the San Joaquin Valley Missionary Baptist Association was organized. Missionary Baptist Association. The first Southern Baptist Association in California was the San Joaquin Valley Missionary Baptist Association. Southern Baptist, you were a missionary Baptist too at one time. You may not be today, but you were. And the following officers elected: Thurman B. Ellis, Taft, vice moderator, G.F. Hendrickson, a layman, Bakersfield clerk, Corbin Ogilvie, a layman, Arvin A.G. Blackburn, and these people, I knew these Blackburns. Of Arvin, in addition to the regular officers, 13 men were elected to serve on the association executive board, and they were T.B. Ellis, H.H. Billingsley, remember the name Billingsley? Yeah. Samuel Coxon, Henry Mauser, Corbin Ogilvie, A.G. Blackburn, Conley Minor, D.G. Pointer, G.F. Hendrickson, V.B. Scroggins, that name is famous in Bakersfield, A.E. Grissom, J. Hamilton, and Robert R. Terman. What a story, huh? This is how it all started. And you know, we've all been missionaries. I'm still an old-time Southern Landmark Missionary Baptist, pastoring the Discover the Word Missionary Baptist Church. If you want to put Landmark and Orthodox in there, you could throw that in there. It wouldn't do any harm to it. It wouldn't do any violence to the church at all. But so many missionary Southern Baptist churches today are not missionary Orthodox Southern Baptist churches, even though they were at one time. These are wonderful things. On page 20, the active activities of the association, the executive board, between the date of the organization and the annual meeting which was held in Lamont, have not been preserved. It is known, however, that one of the first things that the board did was to elect Dud G. Pointer missionary. I had the honor to have him introduce me to the presbytery when I was ordained in the 1970s. There is no record of how long Pointer served, but evidently he resigned about the time the first annual meeting was held, since he became pastor of the church at Lamont and soon after the association's first annual meeting. I think he went back to Lamont and helped them out there because they were dealing with the Hispanic people. He could speak Spanish too. When the association met in Lamont for the first annual meeting in the fall of 1939, Pointer gave a report of his work as missionary, which included four revival meetings and the organization of two churches, one Sunday school, three Baptist Young People's Union, and he also reported that 29 professions of faith and 64 visits in home. In all of his rounds, he traveled 1,640 miles and received for his services $188.72 per year. You think that man loved the Lord? You think he did something for the Lord? Never did much. Never did anything. Yes, they did. Yes, we have. I hope that you're learning something from this. If you're a Southern Baptist out there, I hope you're learning what Southern Baptist and Missionary Baptist and Landmarkers and Orthodox Missionary Southern Baptist churches are. Maybe you've never heard it before. I guarantee you, if I hadn't taught this at if I hadn't taught this at Valley Baptist Church, it never would have been taught. And I went in there, and Marilyn, you can attest to this. When I started teaching these classes, I never taught from this book here. I never came down this close to the time where I live. It's the first time. When I taught those church history classes, they wouldn't let me go home, would they? Marilyn, when I taught the church history classes, they didn't want to let me go home. They want the class going. And you were out there honking the horn in the car after 2.5 hours. They never heard this before. Maybe you never heard it before. Hopefully, I will finish this book. Hopefully, the Lord will give me life to do it. And I'll finish these classes. Before the Association of Durland had voted to hold the next annual meeting with the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church located near Madera, and to ask J.C. James to preach the annual sermon. I knew J.C. James, too. All of these people. I'm telling you history from the time that I know them now. Our Father, please use this message for honor and glory. I pray that people learn from it. I pray that especially those in California, especially those that are quasi-Southern Baptists and quasi-Baptists, that they know what Baptist is. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. Use your word wherever it goes in the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.